Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The next section is on ghusl. And actually the central ayah in the Holy Quran to discuss ghusl is وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَطَّهَّرُوا. And if you are in a state of major ritual impurity, فَطَّهَّرُوا, extensively purify yourself. This is also, it's ayah 6 of Surah Ma'idah. So this is also right in that same ayah as wudu. Now remember that the body enters into two states of ritual impurity. Either you enter major ritual impurity, or either you enter minor ritual impurity, which in Arabic is called al-hadath al-aswar. So minor ritual impurity. And that happens when you break your wudu. So if you vomit a mouthful, or you use the washroom, or you pass gas, etc., all those things will break your wudu. And so that enters you into a state of minor ritual impurity. And in order to remove that, you have to make wudu, and then you re-enter the state of purity. You can again touch the Quran. You can again begin to pray. So the second type of impurity is called major ritual impurity. And major ritual impurity is actually called in Arabic al-hadath al-akbar, major ritual impurity. And it's caused by one of four things. Number one, hayd, meaning a woman's monthly cycle. Number two, nifas, the bleeding after childbirth. Number three, the insertion of the male private part into a female's private part. So with insertion, with or without release of fluid, that causes a state of major ritual impurity. And number four, the release of fluid in the state of excitement from the male private part. For example, secondary to like a vision, you know, if somebody has a vision or a dream while they're sleeping and then with excitement they release fluid, that also causes a major state of major ritual impurity. It can happen to women as well. Now that major state of ritual impurity, in order to get out of that state, you need to perform ghusl. This is what ghusl is. And ghusl can be translated as ritual bath if you want to. It's not just an average bath that you take, but it's a special type of bath that you extensively purify yourself. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا. And if you are in major ritual impurity, فَطَّهَّرُوا. This is a siha of emphasis. This is a verb form of emphasis. فَطَّهَّرُوا. Really purify yourselves. So, when you're in a state of major ritual impurity, there are three major things that you cannot do. Number one, you cannot touch or read the Holy Quran. You cannot touch or read the Holy Quran. Now, when you didn't have wudu, when you were in minor ritual impurity, you could read it, but you couldn't touch it. In this case, you cannot touch it and you cannot read it. Number two, you cannot pray. And number three, you cannot enter the masjid. Three things. Number one, you cannot touch or read the Holy Quran. Number two, you cannot pray. And number three, you cannot enter the masjid. Remember that if a woman is in her cycle or she's having bleeding after childbirth, then she won't fast, correct? That the fact that she doesn't fast is not because she's in a state of major ritual impurity. It's because of the fact that she's having her bleeding. So keep that in mind. If you are in a state of major ritual impurity and the fast time comes upon you, you can enter the fast in that state. Alright? So major ritual impurity does not block fasting. It'll become a problem at the time of Fajr when you want to pray, but it does not block you from fasting. So in the same thing with a woman, the thing that blocks her from fasting is the bleeding, the monthly cycle or the bleeding after childbirth. And the same thing with the case of having relations with your wife, conjugal relations with your wives. If, for example, she is in a state of hayd and she is in a state of nifas, then you cannot have relations with your wife. Alright? You can't have relations with your wife. And so for example, she's in a state of hayd, then you can't have relations with your wife. That's not because of her state of major ritual impurity, it's because of the hayd. If somebody's in a state of just major ritual impurity, that does not prohibit having relations. So there are three things that you cannot do in a state of major ritual impurity. Number one, touch or read the Holy Quran. Number two, pray. And number three, enter the masjid. Let me touch on number three for a moment. It's got to be a masjid proper that you cannot enter. And this kind of gets iffy, and it kind of becomes, you know, it really requires you to get a fatwa for your particular scenario. But, I mean, I learned this lesson when I was teaching once in the gym at MEC, and I was teaching the exact same subject, and some of the sisters had come and they were in that state. And I had said, you can't enter the masjid, and I had assumed that that gym would count as a masjid for those times that we pray in there, and we set it up as a masjid. But actually, that doesn't count as a masjid, that counts as a musalla. There are specific requirements that are necessary to be met to call something a masjid. And until you meet those requirements, that will not be called a masjid. That's a gymnasium. That's a musalla. It's not a masjid. And so you need to fulfill certain requirements you have questions, you can send it to Muftis and get the answers and more details, inshallah. Now, the state of major ritual impurity is removed by ghusl. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَطَّهَرُوا. And if you are in a state of janaba, of major ritual impurity, then extensively purify yourselves. So there are three mandatory things that have to occur in order for you to extensively purify yourself. Number one, you have to wash. Basically what you have to do is wash everything that you can get water to. That's your job. Everything that you can easily get water to, you have to wash as mandatory in ghusl. So number one, you have to get water up to the back of your throat. Number two, you have to get water to the soft bone. And number three, you have to get water over your entire body. Your hair, your every single bit of your body has to become wet, including the navel. So people often miss the navel. Everything that you can get water to easily. Now, that doesn't mean you need to flip your eyelid upside down and drop water on it, okay? That's what we mean by getting water easily. Where you can get water easily, like you can easily wash the back of your throat, you can easily wash to the soft bone in the nose, you can easily wash get the entire body wet. So those become the fara'id, the necessary factors of within the ghusl. The other thing to keep in mind is people sometimes ask the question, well, I had used the bathroom, so I got into a state of minor ritual impurity and I needed to make wudu. And then something happened which then put me in major ritual impurity. So do I need to do wudu and ghusl, or can I just do the ghusl? And the answer is the ghusl removes both minor and major impurity. So if you perform the ghusl, you now have cleared both. So you don't need to perform wudu and ghusl. However, at the same time, the sunnah method of performing ghusl actually involves wudu. When you want to make ghusl according to the sunnah, you'll do the following things. Number one, you'll make a niyyah. And the niyyah will be to remove yourself from major ritual impurity. Number two, you'll wash your hands to your wrist. And again, this is the same concept. You're preparing the hands to then clean the rest of the body. Number three, you wash the private parts. Even if there's najasa on there or there's no najasa on there, regardless of whether you see impurity on the private parts, it's sunnah to wash the private parts at this time. Then number four, you will look for najasa anywhere else on the body and wash it. Or you can wash the entire body over, but you'll look for, if you specifically see there's some najasa, for example, on your stomach, there's something impure, if there's some, you know, fluid that's stuck on your stomach, then you'll wash that away. You have to get rid of that. And then finally, next you'll perform the wudu. So you'll actually perform the wudu as if you were performing the wudu. So you'll wash everything that you would in wudu exactly the way you would with the sunnah wudu. And then finally, you'll pour water over your head three times, then pour water over the right side of your body three times, rubbing the body to make sure everything gets wet, and then pour water over the left side of your body three times, rubbing the body to make sure the entire body gets wet. So every bit of scalp has to get wet. Every base of the hair has to get wet. Every bit of skin has to get wet. The navel, inside the navel, has to get water. Not all the way in, but the outside has to get water. So that's how you perform the ghusl. And also be careful of the teeth. If you have something stuck in your teeth, that has to be removed because the teeth are part of the ghusl. Now if you have a cavity or a filling or something like that, or braces, then that you can just wash over the braces. It's not a problem. But if you have something that's easily removable, like some food stuck on your teeth, you need to make sure that you get soap, you know, that you clean your mouth properly beforehand so that water gets to the teeth as well. This is the sunnah way of doing it. I'm going to share with you just some wisdom behind it. And that is that, see, the ayah says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَطَّهَرُوا. Really purify yourselves. So the sunnah actually does it in a beautiful way, because wudu is the essential means of purifying yourself. It's the essential way. So what the sunnah does, if you want to think of it this way, is it tells you to purify yourself according to wudu and then do something extra beyond it. So this act is highlighting again that wudu is the essential, you know, purification means for us. And when we're in major ritual impurity, we add something to the wudu. The wudu still forms the base, but the only thing we add is that the entire then body has to be washed. Because in the wudu, you're going to gargle to the back of your throat and you're going to wash to the soft bone if you do a proper wudu. So then you're just building on that wudu and washing the rest of the body. So that's a beautiful way of looking at it. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَطَّهَّرُوا.